Are we ready to begin? Everybody's here. Let's go on the record then. My name is Ruben Arredondo. I'm the hearing officer assigned by the commission to hear this matter. This is the matter of the application for changes to Rocky Mountain Power's Home Energy Savings Program, docket number 09035T04. Let's take appearances, beginning with the company, please.
Good morning. My name is Yvonne Hogle on behalf of Rocky Mountain Power, and with me I have Don Jones, Jr., the company's witness.
Okay, thank you. And the division.
Yes, my name is Michael Ginsberg. I'm appearing for the Division of Public Utilities, and the division's witness this morning will be Abinasser Abdul.
Thank you. And the committee, please.
Paul Proctor on behalf of the Committee of Consumer Services. Michelle Beck, the director, will be the witness today.
Thank you. And let's begin with Rocky Mountain Power then.
Thank you. I believe Mr. Jones has to be sworn.
Okay. Mr. Jones, would you raise your right hand for me, please? You solemnly affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
There was a handout that was just made, and we only got one copy. Are there other copies?
There are.
Can we get a couple others?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
That's fine.
Can you please state your name, business address, and present position with Rocky Mountain Power?
My name is Don Jones, Jr. My business address is 825 Northeast Multnomah, Suite 600, Portland, Oregon, 97232.
And your position?
I'm the Energy Efficiency Segment Manager for Rocky Mountain Power.
What did you do prior to being the Energy Efficiency Segment Manager for Rocky Mountain Power?
I worked for the company as a Commercial Industrial Energy Efficiency Project Manager. Before being hired by the company in 1995, I worked as a construction manager for Payless Drug Stores. I have personal experience in residential and commercial construction. I'm also a member of the Association of Professional Energy Managers and attended Reed College.
And what are your responsibilities as Energy and Efficiency Segment Manager for the company?
My responsibilities include identification and analysis of energy efficiency opportunities and results for Pacific Corp's Rocky Mountain Power and Pacific Power Service Territories. I work on energy efficiency issues and have responsibility for making recommendations to Pacific Corp management regarding energy efficiency programs, program design, and program management for all customer sectors, including residential.
What is the purpose of your testimony here today?
I will explain why the company offers demand-side management programs and the proposed changes to the Home Energy Savings Program.
And are you sponsoring any exhibits as part of your testimony?
Yes. Exhibit A is the company's response to CCS Data Request 1.3. It includes a set of cost-effectiveness assessments related to program-level impacts of the proposed changes.
Was this exhibit prepared by you or at your direction?
Yes.
Your Honor, the company has pre-marked Exhibit A as Rocky Mountain Power here in Exhibit A and would now like to offer Exhibit A as evidence into the record.
No objections. Exhibit A is admitted.
Mr. Jones, I would like to direct your attention to the company's filing dated March 23, 2009. Do you have that in front of you?
Yes.
Can you turn to page 3?
Yes.
Do you see the paragraph entitled Program Design?
Yes.
Is it the company's position that one or more of the parties in this proceeding has taken the last sentence in the first paragraph under the heading Program Design out of context? And if so, how?
Yes. When we first introduced the program, the company believed that insulation incentives were necessary to cover the majority of the cost to incent participation, but this assessment was made in the general context of program design and incentive level assessments that say set incentive levels necessary to cause participation. Basically, the company should only pay what is necessary to encourage participation. This is an important consideration of incentive design.
And do the current insulation market conditions warrant the change in position?
Yes.
Can you please explain why the company offers demand site management programs such as the Home Energy Savings Program?
Yes, the company offers demand-side management programs, including the Home Energy Savings Program, as part of a strategy to acquire least-cost energy resources. Reduced customer energy usage reduces the amount of supply-side resources the company must acquire to meet customer load. The company implements DSM resources when such resources prove to be cost-effective, and the company believes in the long-run DSM programs will reduce the cost to ratepayers of meeting customer loads.
How does the company encourage customers to participate in these programs?
Participation is encouraged by offering incentives, such as those in the Home Energy Savers Program for home insulation projects. It should be noted that these incentives, however, are a cost to the company. As with supply-side costs the company incurs, the company should not spend more than is necessary in customer incentives to acquire demand-side resources.
Can you tell us how these demand-side resources programs are funded?
Yes. Customers fund the entire cost of the company's DSM programs through the customer efficiency services charge included on their bills.
And are these charges incurred by all customers, even though some customers do not participate in these programs?
Yes. All customers, even non-participants, benefit from cost-effective DSM resource acquisition in the form of lower electricity bills when the programs replace more expensive supply-side resources. Since all customers benefit from these programs, the company's position is all customers should help fund them. It should be noted that there are no free DSM programs, however, as all customers fund a portion of the DSM resources costs similar to supply-side resources. Since all customers benefit from these programs, the company's position is that all customers should help fund them. It needs to be noted that there are no free DSM programs, however, as all customers fund a portion of the DSM resource costs similar to supply-side resource costs.
Can you please describe the company's home energy savings program specifically?
Yes. The Home Energy Savings Program is available to customers in new or existing residences, multifamily units, or manufactured homes. The program is administered by the company by a third party, PECI. To provide as many participation opportunities as possible, the program provides incentives to customers to assist in the purchase and installation of appliances, lighting, weatherization measures that exceed code or common practice.
And when was this program introduced in the state of Utah?
September 2006.
What was the design purpose of the program?
The program is designed to deliver these least cost resources to the company by reducing residential customers' electric bills and improving the energy efficiency in their homes. Specifically, incentives are in the program to assist customers with the incremental cost of energy efficiency projects by funding a portion of the overall investment. Participating customers recover out-of-project costs beyond the incentives through bill savings.
Would you say that the customer has been successful or popular with customers?
It has. Savings acquired through the program have increased steadily over the 3 years it's been running, 4,000 megawatt hours approximately in 2006, climbing to 14,000 megawatt hours in 2007, and exceeding 39,000 megawatt hours in 2008. 18 separate measures were eligible for incentives. Program expenses in 2006 were $240,000, more than $3 million in 2007, and over $7.8 million in 2008. Specific to insulation, more than 16,000 customers submitted incentive applications for insulation between the end of 2006 through through early 2009, March of 2009, with a majority of these projects occurring in the last 6 months. As shown in Attachment A of the company's filing, attic insulation is the most widely utilized measure out of all the insulation measures.
Can you now explain the proposed changes to the Home Energy Savings Program?
Yes. There are three primary changes the company is proposing. First is the methodology used for calculating the unit savings for insulation is being changed to better reflect cooling savings for the Utah climate. Second, the insulation category will be divided into two sections, one for residences with electric space heating and one for residences with electric cooling. Third, new incentive levels for wall, ceiling, and floor insulation are being proposed to more accurately reflect installed costs of the measure and return the program to its design intent. The original insulation measure savings were based on the Regional Technical Forum data from the Northwest. They did not explicitly include electric cooling savings, and the estimates originally used relied upon a weighted average of heating fuel types and heating and cooling degree days. The new estimates used by the company utilize a building simulation model widely supported in the public sector by the Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory. The model provides separate climate zone specific savings estimates for heating and cooling savings, which enables a company to more accurately estimate savings for the Utah climate. It should also be noted that this is the same model used by Questar to estimate gas savings for their program for insulation. Prior and revised savings estimates were provided in Attachment C of the company's filings.
Can you tell us where the existing incentive levels are under the program?
Yes. Existing incentive levels now on a per square foot basis are 35 cents for floor and attic insulation. For wall insulation, they're 45 cents. The insulation incentive levels that the company is proposing for electrically heated homes will be adjusted for attics to 30 cents, down from 35 cents. To floors, 25 cents, down from 35 cents. And for electrically heated homes, for walls, 45 cents will remain, is unchanged. Proposed incentive levels for electrically cooled homes for attics will be 10 cents a square foot, down from 35 cents. Walls will be 15 cents a square foot, down from 45 cents. And the incentive for floor insulation will be discontinued.
So what was the analysis and other considerations that the company used in order to determine the magnitude of the revisions to the insulation measure incentive levels?
The analysis used focused on revisiting about six key data elements. We looked at the cost of insulation. We looked at Questar's revised incentive levels. We looked at what other programs were paying for insulation on a standalone basis. We took a look at the estimated energy savings from each unit of insulation, including how long they would deliver savings. We looked at the value of those insulation savings to the utility and the ratepayers. And we looked at the original program design intent and program delivery infrastructure that's in place and utilized for price and quality assurance protections. This analysis is typical of the work we do for these measures.
And what necessitated proposing the changes?
These changes are being driven by three key factors. First, the installed cost of attic insulation has declined over the last year. This is evidenced by the widespread offers of free attic insulation. As a result, the company's incentive levels should be adjusted downward to reflect current market conditions. Second, at the current incentive levels, which cover a majority or all the project costs, the program has effectively been changed into a direct install program for insulation. This disengages customers from actively managing their project costs and the quality of that project. And as currently designed, the Home Energy Savings Program would require changes around quality assurance and cost management to compensate for this unintended lack of customer involvement. Third, at current incentive levels, the program cost effectiveness is negatively impacted. This is provided in Attachment C in Table 6. However, from a purely economic perspective, when participation for measure is modest, the degree of economic drag is acceptable if it contributes to a comprehensiveness of projects. However, if participation dramatically increases, in the case of attic insulation, it is appropriate to reevaluate the cost-benefit contributions of the measure, make adjustments in order to protect program economics, and avoid overpaying for the resource. The company estimates if no adjustments are made to the program, the expenses will exceed $25 million for 2009.
Why does the company believe that the proposed incentive levels are appropriate and reasonable?
As I mentioned earlier, setting incentive levels for DSM programs, the company and ratepayers should basically pay what's necessary to acquire the resource to incent participation in the program. They shouldn't pay any more than that. At the company's current incentive levels, combined with Questar's recent incentive levels, participants are being paid more than what the programs originally intended to pay. It's the company's position that proposed incentive levels strike the proper balance between providing the necessary incentive to encourage participation and not paying more than the resources for the resource than is necessary.
Let's talk a little bit more about the cost effectiveness of the program and how it has been impacted by the current incentive levels. Can you elaborate?
Yes. Using the current incentive levels and the current reported savings estimates represent a burden on the program cost effectiveness, which is illustrated in Attachment C. However, the precise level of insulation participation that would sink the program's economics on a program level is challenging to estimate given the overall program cost effectiveness is dependent on contributions and costs from all of the measures beyond just insulation. To help estimate impacts, the company prepared three scenarios to demonstrate the sensitivity of program economics to changes in the volume and costs of attic insulation. These are provided as Exhibit A. To control for the impact of other program measures, non-insulation measure costs and savings were held constant at 2008 levels within each scenario. First two scenarios, only the date of when the proposed insulation changes are to be implemented was varied. And in the third scenario, the company assumed that there were no changes in the current insulation incentive levels. The program was then was projected to basically remain in a free insulation mode. This analysis shows that the benefit-cost ratios decline the longer the company postpones the changes.
You mentioned that the program has effectively changed to a direct install program. Can you describe or explain what a direct install program is?
Yes. A direct install is a program that provides or installs energy efficiency measures for free at a customer's house. Typical design considerations for direct install include negotiated market pricing for installed measures, strict guidelines and controls around the installation of the measures, pre-qualified and trained contractors and vendors who understand the program objectives, the measures to be installed, and measure installation specifications. Customer communications clearly delineate the offer as free and the process to participate. Quality assurance processes and inspection criteria are designed specifically for direct installations. And incentive processing and payments are done in aggregate.
So what is the problem with the insulation measures within the Home Energy Savings Program effectively becoming a direct install program?
The program is not designed as a direct install program for insulation. It doesn't have the controls or considerations typically found in a direct install program. And typically, the customers offered direct install programs for low-income customers. Customers believe it's not a prudent use of ratepayers' fund to subsidize direct install programs for participants who can afford to cover a portion of these costs.
Have the current incentive levels led to additional unintended consequences in the promotion of home insulation projects?
Yes, they have. The generous incentives have resulted in contractors advertising free attic insulation in areas where both Rocky Mountain Power and Questar provide incentives. It has increased customer confusion and is demonstrated by calls to our program administrator's call center with requests to validate contractor offers. We've seen the emergence of creative, in some cases, questionable financing schemes. They're intended to redirect incentive payments from customers to contractors, which further removes the customer from the project cost and payment process. We've seen an increase in program administrator costs for inspections and quality assurance work beyond that originally intended. Again, much of this is driven by the absence of customer involvement in the key project phases, including the bidding, quality acceptance, and payment of the completed project. Collectively, all of these factors are moving the installation portion of the program away from customer-initiated and funded measure and are resulting in all customers paying more for the resource than they have to.
Why is the company proposing these changes now instead of allowing more time for public meetings to take place with contractors and other parties?
The impact of the current incentive levels and market reaction is known and measurable. Further delays will only result in higher resource costs, increasing market activity, continued market behavior around the direct install feature. It erodes program economics and continues the misconception of the program's design. Further, the company made its plans clear to contractors in mid-February in a meeting. The local media has been reporting on Rocky Mountain Power's proposal to reduce installation incentives for nearly 2 months. Notifications have been present on our program and company website since late March, with updates on the revised May 2nd effective date posted to these sites on April 8th. The company feels sufficient notifications have taken place or in place to support our requested effective date of May 2nd.
So in its original filing, the company requested that the effective date be April 1 or a date effective simultaneous with the effective date for changes in Questar Gas incentive levels program. Why did the company make that request?
The company made this request in recognition of the fact that the programs are used in conjunction with each other for a majority of the market. A common effective date was selected to align changes so we could send a unified marketing message. Both customers and contractor confusion would be minimized if we had similar effective dates.
Can you tell us what would be the consequences of not making the proposed changes to the program at this time?
Certainly. We'd experience higher program costs, eroding program economics, and continuing customer confusion. The market will continue to treat the program as a direct install offering until these changes are made. This is likely true even after the Questar incentive adjustments become effective May 2nd. The best available install cost information suggests that at 55 cents, 35 cents from Rocky Mountain Power, the current incentive level, and 20 cents a square foot for Questar Gas, their adjusted level, these would still be within the range to allow for promotion of free attic insulation offers. And again, program costs could exceed $25 million for 2009.
Can you again tell us what action the company has taken to communicate the proposed changes to insulation contractors and, more importantly, to the customers?
Certainly. Contractors received notice about the changes at a meeting for insulation contractors on February 18th of this year. There was media coverage on March 5th and again on March 12th that signaled the company's intent to adjust incentives. On March 27th, information about changes in a link to our filing was posted on a program accessible website, which is also available through the company website. In late March, the company and program administrator call center personnel received information about these proposed changes, so customers calling about status would have current information. And on April 8th, website and call center communications were updated to reflect the effective revised date of May 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Do you have any final comments?
Yes. As of April 16th, 2009, the company has provided all responses to the data requests submitted by the Division of Public Utilities in the docket. The company acknowledges that these responses were not provided timely enough for the division to prepare its recommendation to the commission dated April 15th, 2009. If the company responses address the division's concern, the company asks the division to revise its recommendations to the commission. Finally, the company believes it has demonstrated that its proposed changes are equitable in the best interests of the customer and the company. The changes realign the program with the original intent to provide the appropriate incentives necessary to encourage customers to improve energy efficiency in their homes.
And does this conclude your testimony?
Yes.
Mr. Jones is now available for questioning.
Mr. Ginsburg, any questions for Mr. Jones?
Yes, I have questions.
Okay, go ahead.
To start off, Mr. Jones, you're from Portland, so are you in charge of the DSM programs for all Pacific Corp states?
I have planning and management responsibilities for energy efficiency across the states. There are program managers who manage specific programs.
Does a DSM program similar to what exists in Utah exist in all your states?
For the home energy savings?
Yes.
Home energy savings exists in Washington, California, Idaho, and Wyoming. Yes, it's in all states except Oregon.
And when you filed this on May 23rd, did you file it in all your states?
No, we did not adjust incentive levels. Incentive levels are different in other states.
So the only place you're proposing to change the incentive levels is in Utah?
Yes.
Now, you talked a little bit about how you gave notice, and is there a DSM advisory group that exists in Utah?
There is.
And what's its purpose?
To advise the company on demand-side management issues.
And who participates in that?
Regulators, interested parties.
Who would be the interested parties beside groups like the division and committee?
There are customer groups, individual members.
Energy conservation groups such as the various conservation groups that exist in Utah?
But I don't have the DSM advisory group membership list in front of me, but in general, yes.
Did these proposed changes, did you present them to the your DSM advisory group?
Since we're trying to align with the Questar filing, we presented our filing to the DSM advisory group, but we did not discuss it ahead of time with them.
Why didn't you?
Because of the time issues.
Well, apparently you were considering this way back in February or January, is that right?
We were considering it then. We did not have a DSM advisory group scheduled.
Couldn't you have scheduled one?
Timing schedules were challenging.
So, and how have you gone about, you talked about, you know, you had these various meetings with contractors and put some information on your website. Have you actually sent out any kind of bill insert or anything to your customers advising them of these proposed changes?
I don't believe we've sent out bill inserts.
Let's talk about your proposal is that this effective date be May 2nd, is that correct?
Yes.
And originally your proposal was that the effective date be April 1st?
Yes.
When you so about a week's a period of time from the time you filed to the effective date?
Yes.
And now you're proposing it be approximately 2 weeks, depending on when the commission's order, it'll be less than 2 weeks before the effective date?
Yes.
And the main reason that you want the May 2nd effective date is because that's what came out of the Questar order?
Yeah, it aligns with Questar.
Now, and your proposal is that customers, now the difference between you and the division's recommendation is the division says the effective date should be June 2nd or June 1st. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And am I correct that the only reason you've selected the effective date of May 2nd is that that happened to be what came out of the Questar order?
Well, it's important to note that we're selecting the effective date to align with Questar for, you know, ease of marketing messages, but that every month that this goes on, we're running a direct install program for insulation and we're incurring higher costs than necessary.
Well, the Questar rates will have come down as of May 2nd, is that correct?
Yes, the Questar rates will come down as May 2nd. However, with Questar's rates at 20 cents for attic insulation and the company's at 35, we still believe that's close to the installed cost of some of these insulation measures.
Now, there's also a difference on how much time you want to give folks to put in their applications, is that correct? You're suggesting that they have to provide the company an application for the rebate by May 15th?
Yes, May 15th.
So approximately 2 weeks after the program ends?
Correct.
Was that your original date, May 15th, or did you change that when the commission extended the effective date to May 2nd?
I believe we changed that.
Now, you think that 15 days is adequate time after a customer has insulation to get the application in?
Well, it's important to note that this, you know, these changes have been in the market the notices of these changes, the possibility of these changes have been in the market for a while, so that contractors and customers are aware of it. The application is a one-page form, two pages, I guess, if there's front and back, so that the application's middle process is not unnecessarily burdensome.
The Questar decision gave the customer more time, did it not, than 15 days to get the application in?
Objection. He wouldn't know, Your Honor.
Well, how could he not know? Did you read the Questar order? I mean, you proposed to conform the May 2nd date with Questar. Are you proposing to conform how long it takes to get the application in to the Questar order?
I need to consult with our original filing intent here. We filed a concession letter that adjusted those dates.
Do you have any objections to making conforming yours to the same amount of time that the Questar order had for getting the applications in?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to overrule the objection.
I don't have any objections to that.
Okay. Now, you said one of the purposes or the objective of these home insulation programs is to reduce the amount of supply side resources that the company is going to have to install. That's the ultimate objective. Is that right?
Yes.
And would you agree that the company has significant deficits in the future for electrical needs?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm not the integrated resource planner.
You don't have any idea what the deficits
sustain.
Are? He brought up that the purpose of the program is seems reasonable. You should be able to inquire into the deficits are.
Does he have any knowledge of that?
Your Honor, do you know, Mr. Jones?
I can refer the parties to the integrated resource plan. The programs, the DSM programs in place are part of, you know, acquiring the targets established in the integrated resource plan.
What are the deficits in the integrated resource plan that you're aware of?
I don't have that information in front of me at this time.
I'd ask that the commission take notice of the recent integrated resource plan filing that provides what the deficits are.
Okay, we'll take any objections to take an administrative notice of that?
No objection.
Okay.
Another difference between what the division's recommendation and your proposal is that we're suggesting that the attic insulation reduction not be as large as you're proposing. Is that correct?
Correct.
You would agree, though, that that the attic insulation rebate at both 10 cents and 20 cents is cost effective?
With the new Lawrence Berkeley Lab savings assessment, yes.
Okay.
But it's important to note that what the utility can pay should be balanced against what they have to pay, and that insulation incentive operates in conjunction with Questar's incentive, and at the revised amount of Questar at 20 cents and Rocky Mountain Power at 10 cents, it's a combined total of 30 cents, and installed costs for attic insulation vary widely and are difficult to estimate in this market, but range between somewhere between, you know, 35 and 55 cents. So 30 cents still represents a substantial contribution toward that project cost.
If I could take just a moment.
Sure.
I do have a few more questions.
Go ahead.
What's the average cost of insulation for attic insulation?
The average cost of attic insulation at this point is a moving target. We saw in terms of the installed costs that were reported to us through about 14,000 applications, which was submitted in our filing, was somewhere around 70 cents. It seemed like that was awful close to the combined incentives. We have contractors telling us that it can be done between 35 and 55 cents. Depends on the material, depends on the application. The RS Means company, which is third-party data, says somewhere between 55 and 60 cents for the Salt Lake market.
You also, I think it's in your application, say in some places it's as high as $1 a square foot.
Some contractors have reported those costs.
It's in your application.
Right.
So at 30 cents would be your proposal share of the cost that would be covered by both Questar and you. Is that fair?
That for electrically heated homes, most of those are eligible for the Questar incentive for gas heat. So that would be 10 plus 20 would be 30. Yes.
In your tariff, you also state customers have 90 days after the date of purchase to submit a complete post-purchase application and request an incentive. That's in your current tariff for these programs?
Yes.
And you're actually proposing here to drop that to 15 days?
We're proposing to drop it 15 days for the insulation incentives at the prior levels.
So for some things, customers will continue to have 90 days, while others, they won't?
This applies to insulation incentives.
And why are you proposing to change the amount of time that you felt was reasonable when you filed your tariff to 15 days?
We think it's important to reset the program, to move it away from direct install. We think we should do that quickly and as much possible coincident with Questar.
But you must have considered that it took some period of time after a customer has insulation installed for him to get the necessary billings and information needed in order to apply for the incentive. Is that right?
We do.
And isn't that an important consideration that should still be taken into account?
It is an important consideration that should still be taken into account. Market intelligence indicates that customers are receiving information they need to process these applications quickly. The market has, we believe, anticipated these changes. We have seen evidence that contractors are advertising both incentives change on May 2nd. So we believe the market is moving quickly and efficiently to process incentive applications at the old rate.
I think that's all I have right now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ginsburg. Mr. Proctor?
No questions.
Okay, and you redirect.
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. Mr. Jones, when did the company notify the public in general about the proposed changes?
The notification started with media coverage. This was occurring in early March.
So it's been approximately.
There's been knowledge of changes in incentives for Rocky Mountain Power as well as Questar for at least a couple of months. It's also important to note that the contractors, we had several contractors in a meeting. They noted our proposed changes and presumably went back and told their customers that incentives were changing.
Mr. Ginsburg asked you whether the company had included bill inserts in customer invoices informing them of the proposed changes. Does the company typically send bill inserts to customers for changes that have not been approved by the commission?
That's a good question. We do not typically do that.
Okay. Mr. Jones, if there was a requirement under Utah law to give a minimum notice to the public with respect to insulation measures, changes, wouldn't Rocky Mountain Power meet that requirement?
Objection, it's leading and it's beyond the scope of the cross.
Sustained.
To your knowledge, Mr. Jones, is there a requirement under Utah law to give a minimum notice to the public with respect to insulation measure changes?
Objection, it calls for a legal conclusion. It's beyond the scope of cross.
Sustained.
I'll move on. Mr. Jones, Mr. Ginsburg asked you whether 20 cents per square foot was also a cost-effective measure. Isn't it true that 10 cents per square foot is more cost-effective?
It's leading.
I'm going to overrule it.
10 cents per square foot optimizes utility expenditures available in this program and elsewhere to acquire demand-side resources. It's important to note that setting incentives is a process that looks at a number of things. What can the utility afford to pay? What should be paid to incent participation? So that the fact that you can pay 20 cents doesn't mean you necessarily should. It's also very important to note that the costs of installed insulation in this market are a moving target.
You were asked earlier about possible adjustments, specifically whether the adjustments have been filed in other states, and you indicated that they haven't. Isn't it true that in Idaho there have been some adjustments?
I would like to correct that. When originally filed in both Washington and Idaho, the insulation incentive levels have both been adjusted in both of those states.
Also, going back to the question on whether Rocky Mountain Power had included any bill inserts and customer invoices, isn't it true that there are contractor flyers that are already, that have already been disseminated that note the changes?
Objection, it's asked and answered.
Overruled.
Yes, we have seen flyers that indicate both incentive levels are changing May 2nd.
Mr. Ginsburg also asked you generally whether timing wasn't an important consideration for the company to factor into when proposing changes. Isn't it also important to consider the costs that will be incurred by the company, but ultimately the ratepayers, if the changes are not implemented?
Overall cost of the program, including the cost of additional, quality assurance and inspection, costs of, answering a lot of calls about, is it free? What does this mean? Is this a real offer? Those are all costs that we hope to, minimize by resetting the program to its original design. Markets change and programs respond and interact with markets. So as markets change, one would expect programs to change, and this is part of program changes necessary to react to changing markets.
That's all I have, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Then let's go ahead to the division, please.
We have copies of our memorandum, which was filed with the commission on April 15th. Do you have that?
I do have it.
And if anyone in the audience wishes to have one, we have extra copies. I don't know if anyone wants it or not. And the divisional witness will be Dr. Abdullah Ebenezer.
Okay, Dr. Abdullah, would you please raise your right hand for me? Do you solemnly affirm that your testimony is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
And can we go ahead and get the division's memorandum marked as an exhibit, maybe DPU 1?
Okay, we'll mark the DPU 1. No objections? None. We'll admit it to DPU 1.
Can you state your name for the record?
My name is Abdunasir Abdullah.
And can you provide us your role in preparing what's been marked as DPU Exhibit 1 and your role generally in DSM?
I am the lead in the DSM program's investigations for the division, and I was heavily involved in putting together the memorandum that is in front of us today.
You participate in the DSM advisory group for the division?
Yes, I do.
And you participate in the development of the DSM programs generally for Rocky Mountain Power?
Yes, I do.
You prepared what's been marked as DPU Exhibit 1?
Yes.
Can you outline first what the specifically the division's recommendations are with respect to the proposed changes that Rocky Mountain Power is making?
Yes. The division recommends after it has investigated the filing and the proposed changes of the company, the following. The program's effective date should be moved from June 1st, 2009. The attic ceiling insulation incentive measure for residences with electric cooling but without electric heat should be increased from 10 cents per square foot to 20 cents per square foot. The wall insulation incentive measure for residences with electric cooling but without electric heat should be increased from 15 cents per square foot to 30 cents per square foot. The customer application deadline for customers that complete their installation before the division proposed June 1st, 2009 effective date should be moved from May 15, 2009 to August 1st, 2009.
The basis for those recommendations, the justification for the proposed changes and your analysis of the general changes that the company is proposing is contained in DPU 1 exhibit?
Yes.
The company indicated that they recently, as of apparently late yesterday and this morning, filed some data requests, responses. Did you hear that?
Yes, I do.
Have you had an opportunity to review those?
I have skimmed through it, but I did not get enough time to analyze it and think about it deeply.
Can you go ahead and provide a general summary of the reasons that you're proposing each changed recommendation to what the company is proposing?
Yes, but before I do, let me give a little background as to what triggered this change from the company point of view. The program was introduced in Utah to encourage home energy savings by providing incentives large enough to cover the majority of the customer cost. However, when the Questa ThermWise program was introduced, the home energy program incentives had to be adjusted to make it consistent with that of Questa. This way, the customer will have to pay some of the costs while the incentives are covering the majority of the costs. However, the costs of installing attic insulation drop it to a level lower than, if not the same, the sum of the two incentives from the two companies. This resulted in some contractor is marketing attic installation with associated utility incentives, and we have an attachment that shows that as an example. As a result, customer participation significantly increased. If this participation continues, the target for the 2009 will be reached by the end of April. The company claims that this may negatively impact the overall cost effectiveness of the program, for which we did not have any evidence, but we asked in a daily request, and the response we just get, we didn't get enough time to look at it. As a result, the company proposed the changes that were outlined by Mr. Jones. The division have concern about one of the some of the proposed changes by the company. In particular, we are concerned about this one, the one that drops the ceiling incentives to 10 cents. We're concerned about reducing the wall insulator incentives down to 15 cents. And for the attic insulation incentives, our concern is it defies the intent of the program. Now that it's going to 10 cents plus the Questor 20 cents, that's going to be about 30 cents. Looking at the range that the company showed in their filing, which is from 35 cents to $1, approximately mid-65, something like that, and looking at what we have as an attachment here from Sunrock, which shows that per unit cost, per square foot cost would be about 55 cents. We think that it's not gonna cover the majority of the cost, as was the intention of the program and the incentive level, setting the incentives. However, we agree that it will put some cost on the customer. The customer will have to come up with something, but it will not be the minority, I mean, a small amount. We think that dropping it to 10 cents will somehow cause a drop, a big drop in participation rate. And along with that, savings will be going away. And the intention of the whole DSM program was to save energy. So participation will be negatively affected severely. However, in the company filings, it shows that when they drop the incentive level to 10 cents, it's still the participation rate at the level that they are forecasting is much higher than what it was before the changes happened, or before what they were planning. So we have concerns, big concerns, about how they arrived in that forecast. It just doesn't make sense to us. It defies economic theory. Another concern we have is that back in 07, this program has been changed when the Questor program came into place. And the change was so that the two programs could be consistent with each other. So the incentive level for the attic was dropped down to 35 cents. That's how it came there, to make it the same, so that it's still the combination of the two programs will pay the majority, but not all the cost. We would assume that now that they are again dropping down to, because of the problems Mr. Jones outlined, if we're going to come down we would assume that the consistency between the two programs be kept in place, such that the drop should not go all the way to half of what Questar is paying. And for those reasons, we think that dropping it down to 20 cents would be more reasonable and would mitigate the problem of chasing customers away or dropping the participation rate further. And it will be consistent between the two programs. According to the data response the company gave to the to the Committee of Consumer Services, this level, the level of incentive we are proposing, is also cost effective. Mind you, we're not trying to maximize cost effectiveness. We're trying to maximize energy savings in as long as it's still cost effective. So we're not comparing whether 10 cents is more cost effective than 20 cents or 25 cents. That's not the intention we had, and I think that should not be the intention at all. We also have concerns about the reduction in the wall insulation incentives from down to 15 cents for the same reasons that I outlined for the attic insulation. And we're proposing that it should be taken down to 30 cents rather than 15 cents that the company is proposing. And I would like to know that the influx of customers into the program are not, it's not due to the wall insulation, it's due to the ceiling insulation. So we don't see a good reason to drop it that far, given that it's not the cost of the participation problem we are having now. Another concern we had with this and how we arrived at our conclusion is the effective date for the program. The division is not satisfied that the company has provided adequate notification to the customers and the contractors. And because of that, we feel like, and because we want to keep the consistency between the two programs, the Questar one and this one, we would change the effective date of the program to June 1st, as I have mentioned earlier. The application deadline, the reason we chose August 1st instead of May 15th is also a notification problem. That the customers are not aware of it, and we will also like to keep the consistency between the two programs, where the other program was given 60 days for that kind of for the application to be tendered in. However, one has to know that the complexities in the application itself is different between the two programs. In the Rocky Mountain Power case, the customer has to fill his portion of the application, give it to the contractor. The contractor has to fill it, their own part, bring it back, and then they send it from there on. That adds a level of complexity that Questar's application did not have. And that seems to me that it will take more time to process to turn in an application for Questar than it would for Rocky Mountain Power than it would for Questar. And for that reason, we think like that August 1st instead of May 15 would be an appropriate time to for the customers to turn in their application. That is our recommendations, and that's how we get to that those conclusions.
Do you have any final comments you wish to make in either response to what Rocky Mountain Power have said this morning?
The only additional thing I would make is that we need to be very clear about the intentions of the DSM programs in general. DSM programs need to be cost-effective. But cost-effectiveness is not the only reason we would keep it or let it go or modify it or things like that. There are other objectives that we are weighing in other than the cost-effectiveness. And for that simple reason, I think we should not be try to maximize cost effectiveness. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. That's all the division has to present.
Thank you, Dr. Abdullah. Mr. Proctor, any questions? Ms. Hogle.
We do have a few, Your Honor. Mr. Abdullah, do you know what the division's initial recommendation with respect to the effective date was for the proposed changes in the QuestStar?
Oh. I'll ask again. Mr. Abdullah, do you know what the division's initial recommendation was with respect to the effective date for the proposed changes offered by the QuestStar gas program?
Or you know, I don't understand it. This is the only memo we put other than the one we were responding to the request for an expedited treatment.
Would it surprise you that it was April 1, 2009?
I guess he said he didn't know, and I guess the record speaks for itself.
We can take administrative notice of that.
I would like the commission to take administrative notice of that, Your Honor. In your testimony, Mr. Abdullah, you indicate that changing the incentive from your proposed 20-cent level to our proposed 10-cent level would drop participation in the program significantly. Do you have any basis for saying that other than your opinion? I mean, what basis do you have for making that recommendation?
I don't have a numerical basis where we have tested it, crunched the data and said this is the level, how much you will get. But it is economic principle that says when the price goes up, quantity demanded goes down in such a way that by reducing the incentive level that much, the out-of-pocket cost of the customer is increasing, which will result in their demand for the program will go down. So that is the basis. It is economic principle that we are basing the idea on, not a numerical fact that we had crunched in.
But it sounds to me like that is your primary factor, even though you've just also stated that it shouldn't be, that cost effectiveness should not be or is not the only factor.
Do you understand the question? I don't think that was his testimony. I think he gave a number of factors of why it should be 20 cents rather than 10 cents.
And, Your Honor, if I might, it's argumentative. It's testing the counsel's view of something with what she perceives the witnesses to be.
You can say yes or no, it wasn't my testimony, and leave it at that. Sorry? You can say yes or no, it wasn't my testimony, and leave it at that. If she's misrepresenting your testimony.
Could you repeat the question?
I'll move on. I believe you also said that, or the division, at least in its recommendation to the commission, points out that customers would be paying a bigger share by Rocky Mountain Power's proposed changes from 20 cents or from 35 cents to 10 cents a square foot. Who is getting the most benefit out of that program, Mr. Abdullah? Do you know?
The program, if cost effective, the benefits will be getting to everybody. all customers, the utility, everybody will be benefiting, the whole system will be benefiting from the program.
Isn't it true that the customer who is participating in the program is getting the most benefit, and therefore isn't it reasonable to assume that that customer should pay a bigger share?
I think you just answered that question.
Objection sustained.
Are you familiar with the Commission's 1992 report and order on standards and guidelines for integrated resource planning for Pacific Corp, Mr. Abdullah? The guidelines, the IRP guidelines, what we generally know as the IRP guidelines.
I know they existed, but I do not remember all the details of it.
Okay, at this time I'd like the Commission to take administrative of that, Your Honor.
Now, there was a previous, we took administrative notes of the, was it the IRP previously, another one?
These are the guidelines. Okay. The guidelines.
Okay, we'll take administrative notes of that.
What's the relevance?
I'm getting there.
I'll wait for a question and then you can make objections.
Would it surprise you to know that in it, the Commission states that the integrated resource planning process must evaluate all known resources on a consistent and comparable basis in order to meet current and future customer services, and that they would have to be at the lowest total cost to the utility and its customers?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. And isn't it true then that the lowest reasonable cost is met more with the company's proposed programs at 10 cents a square foot rather than 20 cents a square foot?
Did you ask you whether it would surprise me that it would cost more if it were 20 cents than it would if it's 10 cents? Did I understand the question properly? I cannot answer that question because with the increased cost resulting from the increase in incentives, there will be an associated savings that will be coming and will be benefit. So in terms of balancing the benefits and the costs, I don't have an answer for that, but there will be a balance there.
I suppose the ultimate question is, why would we, as the company and the ratepayers and all of the interested parties, why would we acquire DSM resources for less? Or why would we spend more money to acquire DSM resources when we can spend less money? Doesn't that make sense? Why should we spend more than we need to?
We're not asking that the company pay more than we need to, and the company is just part of the system. So we're not asking the system to invest unnecessarily larger amount of money into DSM. But what we're saying is that we're balancing here the incentive level. The incentive was, the purpose of the incentive is to bring about participation, bring in customers. So we're looking at the level we think would entice reasonable participation so we can finally end up with a reasonable savings. But we're not saying company has to pay large amount of money. That's not cost effective, or that's not reasonable.
And isn't it true that ultimately it's not the company who's paying for it? Because the company will get reimbursed. It's actually
the
ratepayers.
Good. Do you want to take some time to turn it off?
I do. I turn it off.
I'm sorry, Ms. Hogle.
Yes, it's the ratepayers that ultimately pays.
We went off the record.
I'm not sure the questions are on the record.
Yeah, let's go back on the record. Can you ask your question again, Ms. Hogle? I'm sorry.
I was just attempting to get him to acknowledge that it really isn't the company who's paying for these resources. It ultimately, it's everybody. It's the ratepayers who pay for this resource, and therefore, why should ratepayers pay more than is necessary to acquire these demand site management resources?
And that's exactly what I was saying. By increasing the incentive level from 10 cents to 20 cents does not necessarily mean ratepayers are paying unnecessarily large amount. What we are after is savings. And by increasing the incentive level, we are trying to increase the participation level to a reasonable level where there is a reasonable comparable savings resulting. We're looking at those benefits from the savings, not only the cost. So reducing it to a certain level where the participation will not be there is not the intent of the incentive.
I have no other questions, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Any redirect, Mr. Ginsburg?
Just a couple questions.
Go ahead.
You were asked about the IRP guidelines. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And she gave you a little definition of an IRP guideline, and you said you weren't surprised about what that guideline says. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And I think the guideline used the term total cost. And can you define sort of provide a response of how you see that guideline and the definitions in it consistent or inconsistent with what you're recommending here today?
In the consistency in terms of total cost rather than individual or unit cost.
Can you be a little more explicit what you mean by total cost versus unit cost?
When we're looking at the program, for example, the DSM program, and this is my recollection, which is not perfect. When we're looking at the DSM program, we're looking at the non-DSM, the supply side. We're looking at the total, how much will it cost us to provide this much energy or power to the system if we provide it from here or here in terms of total cost, not the unit level. So that total cost is what we're looking at. So if we can displace at a cost certain amount of supply side with the demand side, that's how the direction we are taking in comparing the two.
One final question. When you talked about program participation, you gave a little economic theory definition. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
You have a PhD in economics, do you not?
Yes, I do.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, thank you, Mr. Ginsburg. Before we go to the committee, can we take a, let's take a 5-minute break.
You go back to school.
We haven't had a chance to review these other questions. We have any changes or recommendations?